Please be joined by our NHL insider, Elliot Friedman. Morning, Elliot.
What is my name?
I don't know. Can you tell me? I seem to have butchered it finally.
Thank you very much, Ryan Pinneter.
That's right. Elliot Friedman, our NHL insider.
That's like Fletch. My name's John Cockatoosin.
Oh, dear. Happy holidays, Elliot. How are you?
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I hope everybody had a great one.
Yeah, very good. Do you get much time off? I mean, this is still hockey season. The show must go on, as they say.
The trade freeze slows everything down a little bit, which is nice. And then, you know, I'm a basketball fan. I know Moberg is a huge basketball fan.
Massive, one of the biggest I've ever seen.
I was watching the Christmas Day games. There's five of them in the NBA. And the number one conversation I had with people around there before and after is, you know, that's nice to watch on Christmas Day, but thank God the NHL doesn't do that, eh? Like,
well, for you,
nice to have 3 days where we can just relax in the middle of the season for a bit.
The one thing I was thinking about is, you could have a Boxing Day game, you could have a December 24th game. I understand Christmas, but maybe you could build in a minimum of a 5 day break for each team. But why not have some of them flirt closer to Christmas? I know guys like you get screwed, but there's like only what 50 in the world.
Yeah, exactly. I will say this, that I know during the last CBA negotiations, that was one of the things that the players fought for. They wanted the Christmas break. And I think as we look at it now, the CBA was very good for the league. It worked out really nicely for them. The players still make good money, although I think they all complain about the escrow. They still make very good money. It worked out well for everyone, but I know the players fought very hard for those 2-3 days off. And I think when you sit there and you enjoy these past couple of 3 days off, you say, thank God that got done, because I kind of like it this way.
Well, that's fair enough. We're greedy as the viewers, but the guys like you, it's just nonstop, never mind the late nights.
Well, obviously, I'm not a big I don't celebrate Christmas, but I know that went from covering the NBA when I did before I became an NHL-only guy. I know there were a lot of people who were really who didn't like it. Like a lot of families, players' families didn't like it. Reporters' families. Like the one thing I remember was, and this is a hockey story, when Ron Wilson was the coach of the Maple Leafs, the relationship between him and the media turned so poison towards the end that he announced on his Twitter feed that he got his contract extension on Christmas Day. And that was like a deliberate, that was a deliberate shot at some of the media members who we disliked. And I remember kind of laughing about it a little bit. And one of the reporters, David Schultz, the Globe and Mail, he really took issue with the fact that I thought it was funny. And I said, well, okay, well, what's your issue, David? And he says, you know what, for some of us, that's an important time with our families. We like to, you know, we like to have that time. We don't get to see them a lot. You know, when you become a reporter, you accept, you know, the parameters of your job, which is a lot of traveling and a lot of missing events. And that's one they always knew that they had with their family. And that one got ruined. And I know as bad as the relationship between Wilson and the media was before that, it got even worse because so many of them were so angry at him. So I now have a greater understanding of why that's important to so many people, and I like it better this way.
Well said. Now, the one thing we know, there is a trade freeze in the NHL for players over the course of the holidays. We get that. It makes sense. You'd hate to have news of you know, being relocated to the other side of a continent coming down in this window. But yet for coaches, there's none of that protection, and the Devils have gone ahead and done the old switcheroo at coach.
Well, Lou Lamoriello is not the most sentimental guy, that's for sure. He is all business. And he's done this before. A few years ago, he made a coaching change, I believe, on December 23rd. So that is his way. And, I think he had really thought of, you know, there, these rumors had kind of been out there that Peter DeBoer was in trouble. I know they came through Toronto a few weeks ago, and they were on a bad streak, and there was a real sense that if they lost that game to the Maple Leafs, it would happen, you know, right away, and they beat Toronto. So if that was true, it held them off a little bit. I think Lamoriello made the decision on Christmas Day or at least decided to act on it on Christmas Day, but informed DeBoer the next morning on Boxing Day. He had a plan. He's obviously, you've seen what it is. It's unique, as he called it. It did have a little bit of controversy with it that he did not ask the Capitals for permission to speak to Adam Oates until after he'd basically made the hiring, and the two teams had to smooth that out privately. I think the one thing about Lamoriello is he's going to do what he decides is best for the team, whether you agree with it or not. He does what he thinks is right, and he felt that it just wasn't working with DeBoer anymore. And, you know, I haven't spoken to Peter DeBoer yet, but the sense I'd heard was that, you know, he'd felt the guillotine coming, and it was almost like, okay, I knew this was going to happen at some point. I'm kind of just glad it's over, even though nobody likes to be fired.
And as for the smoothing over with Washington, explain that if you could.
Well, I think what happened was, Oates was under contract. People did ask me on Twitter, like, well, he was fired. What's the big deal? And the fact is he's still under contract with the Capitals for another year, for this year. And there is a way that you're supposed to do this. You're supposed to call the team and say, can we talk to the guy? And, you know, very rarely is that rejected. But I think what Washington's concern was, and I don't know this for sure, but this is purely a guess, an educated guess on my point, is that they wanted to make sure they wouldn't have to pay him anymore. And, you know, there is a formula in the NHL. Like, for example, let's just say for argument's sake, okay, say the Calgary Flames decided that they wanted to fire Bob Hartley tomorrow. And another team the day later says, you know what, we really love Bob Hartley as a coach. We're going to hire him. There's a formula in place to make sure that the new team doesn't pay Bob Hartley a dollar and Calgary is on the hook for the rest of his salary. There's basically something determining, like, what your experience is, what the average salary for coaches with similar experience is, and that way they have a formula in place to make sure teams don't do that. So I think what happened was Washington was sitting here saying, wait a sec, you haven't officially named Adam Oates the coach. What are you paying him, and does that mean that we're on the hook for the rest of that money? And I think what happened was the two sides kind of settled that, and I wouldn't be surprised if Washington is not paying anything or is paying very little, and that way this kind of went away before the NHL had to come involved. So that's kind of what occurred.
So is this an open audition for he and Scott Stevens for next year? I don't imagine or envision Lou down there for a significant amount of time beyond the season.
You know, that's a great question, Ryan, and I don't have the answer yet because there's a lot of interest around the league in terms of what that means, that it's not fair to hire somebody to coach this team. Like Lamoriello said in his press conference when he was asked that he had permission from ownership to hire somebody to a contract beyond this year. And he said it was not fair to put a new coach in this position. And I will say this, that there is a question if that means that what he is saying is that does that mean that it's fair for someone to get hired if I'm not around next year? Because then you know what happens, a new GM comes in and maybe he wants a new coach. You know, you're never going to get an answer out of Lou Lamoriello unless he wants to give it to you. I've tried. I've had hilarious give and takes with him where he says, I can't even believe you're asking me this because you know I'm not going to give you an answer. And I know, well, I got to try. There's a lot of questions. He's 72 years old. There's questions about whether or not how long he's going to stay. And I think by leaving it kind of open-ended this way as he did, it has people wondering if, you know, maybe this is it. And I do know that about 3 years ago, I heard rumors that he was going to step down. And I called him, and he said, look, not unless you know something that I don't. And I laughed at that being a possibility, Ryan. But later on, after it was over, I heard from somebody else who said to me, at that time, it was close, it was possibility, but he wanted to stay on because he was unsure of the future of the Devils under the previous ownership, and he wanted to make sure things turned out okay for both the organization and some of the people employed in it. So I think he has thought about it before. He's never done it, And I think people are kind of wondering, you know, especially based on his actions, if there's a possibility that this could be his last year in New Jersey.
I don't know if there's a team that has one man's fingerprints on it, an organization, more than his with New Jersey. Apparently, even issues so little as players parking in a parking lot on an off day, Lou would have say on. I mean, is it fair to say this is one of the most influential men in terms of one organization as there's been in hockey?
Well, I think it's a very fair comment. And, you know, they're called Lou's Rules. And he runs that team a certain way. You know, no facial hair. I'll tell you a funny story. That their rink has the practice facility with it. There's the main rink they play on, and there's their practice rink a few doors away. It's a really nice facility. And there's a window above the rink in one of the corners. It's a small window. It's not like a massive one, and it goes to his office. And one of the first times I went there, one of the reporters pointed out to me and said, "You know what that is?" And I said, no. And they go, "That's the window to Lou's office." And sometimes he just sort of hides there in the dark and watches practice without us really knowing. And literally the moment he said it, we saw this figure move, and we realized it was him watching practice, and the reporter kind of shook. It was just kind of funny because he's such a presence there. He's not the tallest man. He's a short man in terms of stature, but he's a large man in terms of personality and hold over the organization. He very much does things his way. He always has. He doesn't, like, for example, Ryan, he's one of those guys, he doesn't believe in giving away free tickets. If you're in the building, you pay full price. And one of the reasons he believes in that is that he doesn't ever think that someone who's paying a full price should turn to the person next to them and hear that they're paying less than they are. And there was a time the Devils also had ownership, was in partnership with the Nets, and he was put in charge of the Nets, and the Nets attendance went down because he wasn't allowing freebies. And I think actually he eventually replaced him because they couldn't handle his policy there. But that's always been his way. He's very principled. He's very loyal to the people who've been loyal to him. If you're on his bad side, you never want to be there. He always returns a phone call. He may never tell you what you're asking, but he will always return it. He's a fascinating guy to deal with, and I've actually learned a lot dealing with him in terms of how to handle things and his philosophies. He's one of the most interesting guys I've ever dealt with, and I really enjoy my conversations with him.
Sounds like you're describing Boomer. Short, big personality, that is. Influential, don't want to be on his bad side, returns all his calls, fascinating. I mean, he and Boomer pretty much are the same guy.
And they've both got the same number of Stanley Cup rings.
There you are. What's going on around the league right now? The one thing that I keep thinking about lately, with Babcock taking as long as it's taking, just the conversation we had about a trade freeze, but coaches being fired, I'm not suggesting that coaches want a union, but there does seem to be more conversation about solidarity amongst coaches, guys trying to get raises to help other guys as much as anything else.
Well, there's no question that's happening. And a lot of it is run by George Kingston, who you guys in Calgary would know very well. I had a conversation with George about it a year ago, and, you know, the one thing that they are trying to do is be very careful. The league already has enough battling with the players union. I'm not sure they want to deal with another one. Initially, one of the reasons he started it was because he felt assistant coaches in particular were getting hurt with their health benefits, especially when they got fired. Like, what was their protection when they got fired? Assistant coaches don't make as much as the head coaches do. And, you know, what is their protection if something happens? And I know that the league and them, the leagues did step up and start to do a much better job of making sure that, you know, medical care for coaches and things like that and benefits were dealt with in a better way. But I think, like any group of people, They talk a lot. I don't think there's full salary disclosure among coaches. I do believe there are some guys who still think that, you know, that's a private thing, but more and more of them share. And you're seeing this now. You know, Joel Quenneville, not overall. There's years he's under three, but his contract will carry him into the $3 million range. Claude Julien's extension will carry him into the $3 million range. And I think Babcock's going to become the first coach who's ever going to be in a situation where it starts with a three all the way through. So I do think they help their selves out. You know, what's going on? You know, we're starting to hear Ryan O'Reilly's name in Colorado. You know, that's sort of been an on-again, off-again relationship. And, you know, with Colorado having a tough year, and O'Reilly's going to be in a position eventually after next year where they're going to have to deal with it again, his name is starting to get out there. You know, one name I heard, and it's a little off the beaten path, but it's an interesting name, is Drew Shore, who's a center in the Florida organization. He's 23 years old. He's playing in the American Hockey League. Once he plays two more games, he's going to need waivers to go back up and down. And I heard there were a number of teams scouting him in San Antonio over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, he's a young center. The Panthers have, you know, two young centers already in Barkov and Bjugstad. Then they need their veterans. He was an interesting, because I there's some teams who think he can play at the next level. He just kind of stuck there. I think he's a guy some teams are looking at. And I still think Boston and St. Louis are going to be interesting ones. And finally, I just say Arizona. The sale is supposed to close on Wednesday. I think there is an electronic vote going on right now between the owners. And ultimately, that will determine what Don Maloney decides to do with Antoine Vermette, though I think he's going to get traded anyway. I think the Coyotes have made the decision they can't keep him at a number starting at six.
Yeah, and you know what? They're just they're way out of it this year. It's not as if they're clinging to a final wild card or anything like that. Great
Absolutely.
Stuff, as always. That's why they call you Elliot Finneman.
John Cockatosen, one of my favorite movies ever.
Thanks for your time. We'll do it again later this week.
All right, Ryan. Speak to you Friday. Take care, man.
It's Elliot Friedman. That's actually his real last name.